Good morning. This is the Daily Inspiration again this morning with a message about Jesus Christ. This is Daniel King from Mannheim. God bless you this morning. I would like to talk a bit this morning about the kingdom of God. It's something that has been a bit of a mystery to me already. Why the New Testament is speaks so much about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that comes down to man, and that came through the birth of Jesus Christ here on this earth. We can read here in Luke 17, starting at verse 20. I'll just read here. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so we think of a kingdom as a nation of people. We think of a kingdom as a nation of people with a government and a king. And usually this group of people is largely run and in many times controlled by the king. And the king makes the decrees and passes them out through messengers and has an establishment of people who work for him and who are loyal to him and care about his desires and will and are willing to carry them out at any cost, these messengers. And they fend for the things of the king, and they defend him even when he is not present. In other words, they are there to be loyal and to defend the king. And so that is often the picture we have when we think about a kingdom. And so the disciples, it seems or it appears like they had that type of a picture when Jesus would talk about the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. They were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the sent one from God to redeem mankind, the Son of God. But it seemed their picture of the kingdom was a bit off from what they had thought it was, and that wasn't revealed in full to them, or they were not able to grasp that in full until the Holy Ghost came and filled them with Holy Ghost and fire there at Pentecost, it seems, is when the lights really went on. I mean, in the beginning, they got a picture. As they walked with Jesus, it seemed like the lights were becoming, or the picture was getting clearer. And then at crucifixion, it was a dark time for the apostles and the disciples, because they had felt from what they were thinking that the kingdom is has now been proven wrong, and they thought that this thing is just going to not mean anything and kind of fall apart. It was a dark time, those 3 days when Jesus was in the tomb. So, but when he rose again, there was renewed hope, and there was a lot of excitement among his followers, because now all of a sudden the scene changed again, and now all of a sudden their king and their leader was not dead after all, but he was alive. But it still seemed, even then, they were looking at a more of a physical kingdom, as the people of that day were used to, as far as the things pertaining to God. Because in that day, a kingdom meant a nation of people with a geographical boundary, meaning, you know, actual physical boundaries, as the nation of Israel had it. They had Jerusalem, and they had the temple, and they had the they had a king in place, and they had their land and what was considered not their land. They had their boundaries. They had people who were Jews, and then they had people who were not Jews, considered Gentiles. And so there was a distinct physical kingdom, and it seemed like their view and vision of a kingdom that Jesus was presenting would look like that, or somewhat like that, because that was all they knew. And sometimes we can get the same picture even in this life, because it's what we know. We know what we can see. It seems that unless we see something, it's hard for us to grasp it. And we can see kingdoms around us. We can see them all over the world. But according to this verse here, it says that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, it's not something that we can see with our physical eyes. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Meaning, it's not like you can point at it. Okay, here's the kingdom of God. Right here it is. Look right here. Here it is. Or it's over there it's 10 miles north of us. You know, Jesus is saying that's not the way it's going to work. You're not going to be able to pin it down to a certain spot or place. Or movement. So then what is this kingdom? What is the kingdom of God that is within you? And I would like to say here, I would also like to read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It says, what? Question mark. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so here it's saying that here there's a, if you parallel these two, it says, lo, the kingdom of God is within you, within you. And then in Corinthians here it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So it's saying that we as Christians have the Holy Ghost within us, and that the kingdom of God is within us. And all of a sudden we have no need to look around, but the kingdom of God is available to each person in our hearts and in our lives. And sometimes we might wonder, you know, what does this all mean? How is this possible? But it's basically saying that this is a spiritual kingdom where God in heaven is reigning. And Jesus Christ is the king of this kingdom. And we might say, well, who are his servants? Well, it is those who have committed and yielded their lives to him. So, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we can see that Jesus has a longing for his kingdom to come here on this earth. And, you know, we might ask the question, what does that mean? Lord, why don't you just send your kingdom? Well, we can see clearly that Jesus limits his kingdom at least for this time, he limits his kingdom to those who willingly embrace and allow his kingdom to come in their hearts. And he does it through one soul at a time. When a person becomes born again, there is another soul added to God's kingdom. And then his kingdom, and then his spirit reigns in that person, and God dwells in that person, and that person becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. As it says here in Corinthians, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God then comes down and reigns in the temple, in his temple, which is those who have said, "Yes, Lord," and who have received Jesus Christ into their hearts. It also says that at that point we are not our own, and I guess in reality no one here on this earth is their own, because no one has ever created himself and made himself, but each person that lives in this life, in this world, is created and owned and made by God. And so that is something that is a reality for all humans, whether redeemed or not, whether born of God or not. But at the same time, it's saying here in Corinthians that, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God." So it's saying that if we have the gift of life within us, if we have salvation within us, if we receive this gift of salvation that God sent through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the crucifixion and the resurrection, if we have that resurrection power within us, if we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then it's saying that we are, that our body and our spirit are God's, because God, we are now the servants of the Most High, and God comes and lives and reigns in our hearts, meaning the very seat of our affections and the seat of what... for choices we make, and the seat of what drives us, the seat of what, where our thoughts, the innermost thoughts dwell, that is where God dwells, in that area. So we can plainly see that God is not just something that we add to our life, or that God is just, that this salvation, this Jesus Christ that was born, is not just a neat little package, a neat little gift to us, that we receive and add to our many other gifts. But rather, Jesus is someone who we must, as the Bible says, we must count the cost and to see whether we can afford to receive. Okay, so we need to count the cost, meaning that this is going to be costly for us. This is going to cost a price for us to receive this gift of life. What is the price? It is our body. It is our spirit. It is our mind. It is our heart. It is our life. It is our future. It is everything that is in our control becomes the property of God when we receive his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts. And we receive that gift of life. And that is then when God... that is then when God's kingdom can reign within us, because now all of a sudden God has a servant. God has someone who will look to the things that he looks to. God has someone who will care about the things that he cares about here on this earth. God has someone who will think the thoughts that he thinks, and that who will say the things that he would say if he were here. In a sense, we become God's mouthpiece. We become his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears. So the picture here is that when there is a group of these people together, these people that have God's Holy Ghost within them, and they form a group which we might call the church, but in a sense, it is God's kingdom here on the earth. And God is glorified when people make that choice and sell out to God and then gather together in groups and work as a team representing the Bride of Christ here on this earth. And that is the kingdom of God in a spiritual sense. It is those that have the kingdom within them, and they are operating and functioning as God's servants, as his sons and his daughters here in this earth. And having the comfort of the Holy Ghost within them, and going about comforting others, as the Bible says, comfort those by the comfort that you were comforted with, and going about doing their Father's business. God bless you this morning as you seek him, as you seek to make Jesus Christ a reality in the deepest, innermost parts of your heart.